Welcome to the Left of Lansing podcast with your host, Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. A, dare we say, entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how we can best make Michigan's political machine work for the people. And now, live from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's Pat Johnston.
Again, we're on the other side of the medical aspect of this, and I think that we've achieved all the different milestones that are needed. So the federal government rose to the challenge, and this is a great success story.
Welcome to another installment of the Left of Lansing podcast. I'm Pat Johnston. Aren't you feeling wonderful after hearing that? Aren't you feeling just so warm and fuzzy inside after hearing Jared Kushner saying, everything is under control? They're reminding me of the Leslie Nielsen character in Naked Gun when everything's exploding behind him and he's saying, everybody don't worry, nothing to see here. Oh, man. I'm Pat Johnson, like I said. I have not done a podcast here in a while. In fact, probably during this entire pandemic, I just haven't had it in me to really do a whole lot of talking. There's just been nothing but sadness, to be frank, about this whole thing. Sadness because people are dying. Sadness because thousands, in fact, now millions of Americans have become infected that we know of. The numbers are probably even higher. Sadness because it's draining our healthcare system. Sadness because it's draining our healthcare workers who are on the front lines. Sadness because it didn't have to happen at all. It didn't have to happen. That's the sad part. That's the amazing part. But we've got dear leader in Washington saying, hey, it's not my fault. Blame the governors. It's all of their fault. Yes, I may have received all kinds of briefings months ago saying that this was going to be a pandemic and it was going to cause lots of harm to American lives and the American economy. But no, don't blame me. Blame the governors, all right? Or blame the media or blame Chinese factories. Whatever. We have around 65,000 dead Americans and over 4,000 dead in the state of Michigan. And Jared Kushner, the guy who's got zero qualifications whatsoever other than being Dear Leader's son-in-law, is calling Dear Leader's handling of this pandemic a ringing success. Do you ever stop to think about that Jared Kushner, is playing a major role in our government at this time? Or worse, he's playing a major role in this government's response to this pandemic. Maybe you shouldn't think about that because it'll just drive you to utter depression. I mean, at the same time, do you ever stop and think that we've got a racist, know-nothing game show host grifter who is the so-called leader of this country right now? Oh, and by the way, Dear Leader just tweeted that he's hoping we don't lose 100,000 lives to the coronavirus. That's nice. I've noticed how Dear Leader keeps changing the numbers to fit his narrative as to what defines success, and, well, I have a feeling that will not stop. But still, it did not have to be this way, everybody. It did not have to be this way had Dear Leader and his administration cared more about the people than about their buddies who gamble in the stock market. If I didn't know any better, I'd say that as we near 70,000 deaths in this country, that Dear Leader and his benefactors really don't care. They really don't care. You see, the ones who are dying from this virus are, as former Clinton Labor Secretary Robert Reich told Robin Wright in the New Yorker recently, the ones who are dying, who are doing a lot of the dying here, are the forgotten. You see, the forgotten are the migrant workers, the elderly, the disabled, the homeless. And according to those in the remote class, who, according to Reich, are the privileged who can afford to work from home and who really haven't lost any kind of pay whatsoever, they're the ones who the elites must protect. You see, the remotes count on the essential workforce to do the dirty work, so they can goad, or else I guess you could say pander, to the millions upon millions who are now unemployed to take to the streets and blame state governments for their sudden cut in income. Don't you dare blame, dear leader. Don't you dare blame Wall Street. Don't you dare blame those who continue to flood all kinds of campaign cash to those who protect dear leader. No, don't blame them. Blame the state governments for the reason why you're struggling right now. They're hoping for two things. One, that those millions will be so hurt economically that they'll demand to work for crap wages, even if that means death. And two, that you won't blame dear leader Donald J. Trump because, hey, they've got to keep their huge tax cuts at all costs. Not only that, but the elite remote class is hoping that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in Washington will also strong-arm legislation that will ensure their companies cannot be held liable for any COVID-19 deaths. That's true, ladies and gentlemen. That is what Mitch McConnell is fighting for. The Republican Party of Dear Leader and Mitch McConnell don't give a damn about the people who've lost their wages or their health care. They don't care about that. They don't want to provide a monthly income for millions of Americans who are affected by this virus. They don't want to help people who will struggle to pay rent or their mortgage or their auto payments or their doctor bills. They care only about taking care of their donor base. They care about making sure workers at meat processing plants can never have their day in court. As Childish Gambino warned us, this is America. Meanwhile, back here in Michigan, coronavirus case numbers and deaths are finally beginning to curve downward in the Detroit area. That's good news, and we should give thanks to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's leadership as she's trying to do everything in her powers to save lives. Still, this virus has killed over 4,000 Michiganders, and the majority of them did come from the Metro Detroit area. Even more disturbing, a disproportionate number of the deaths and coronavirus cases hit the Black communities hard, or, in other words, the forgotten community. Despite all that, can you imagine if we didn't have the Big Gretch, as she's being called in some circles, or, as Dear Leader calls her, that woman from Michigan leading us through this entire horrific episode? I'm thankful. Now, I'm not saying she's done everything perfectly, and who has during this unprecedented time? Mistakes are going to happen. But Whitmer has fought to keep us home, to flatten the curve, and it seems to be working pretty well. We're witnessing what it's like to have sanity in government. We're not getting that in Washington, but at least we are getting it here in our great state of Michigan. We're getting to see what it's like to have strong leadership. See, Gretchen Whitmer knows by listening to the scientific community that the faster you can curve the spread of coronavirus, all right, and bring those numbers down, then the faster you can start to bring pieces of this economy back into shape. For some reason, that that concept is just lost on many, many people. Oh, God, like I said, it's sad. We've got the right-wing Michigan Republican Party funded by fringe right-wing forces like the DeVos family or the Michigan Chamber of Commerce and led by Mike Batshit Crazy Shirky and Lee. Wait, I can't bring a gun on an airplane. Chatfield, who is our fearless House Speaker. Those are the leaders of the Republican Party here in Michigan. And they've done everything in their power to block and obstruct Governor Whitmer from day one. They blocked her appointments that have rarely ever been blocked before. They've done everything in their power to ensure that she cannot address her number one campaign promise of fixing the roads. And they've demeaned and belittled her every chance they get. Shirky even refers to her as my governor, which is a cute way of reminding everyone that our governor, in his eyes, is a little woman who just needs his strong male guidance. I mean, it's the equivalent of saying, my pet. Republican State Senator Ken Horn of Frankenmuth told a radio station this week that Governor Whitmer just is not up to the job. Now, why is that so, Ken? Why? Horn and Shirky, talk about a bad 70s sitcom, Horn and Shirky. Horn and Shirky say it's because that she refuses to, well, wait for it, give up her constitutional duties and give that power to these right-wing ideologues in Lansing who are beholden to their benefactors, again, the DeVos family and the right-wing Michigan Chamber of Commerce elitists who are counting on the cult to die for Dear Leader's cause, even if that means that we lose thousands of people in the process. Besides, most of those losses, according to them, will consist of the forgotten class. And you know what? They're kind of a drag on society anyway. At least that's how they think. More on that later. So they get these people all riled up to blame Gretchen Whitmer and all of the other governors who've taken similar steps, may I add, to blunt the spread of the virus. But now the virus is spreading across the state while Detroit's numbers are in decline. It's because we've had these two rallies in 2 weeks, and I'll be darned after those two rallies in Lansing, the numbers are starting to spread across the state in rural areas. Who didn't see that one coming? The right-wing majority called the thunder, and now we're seeing the results. See, Shirky and Chatfield and Ken Horn and Jim Stomas and all those guys, Rich Studley of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, they needed the cult to show up, unmasked, armed, and men carrying guns over there telling them they've got to beware. They needed the cult to demonstrate that they are willing to die for Dear Leader, which is good for them because the elitists who pay their campaigns need profits. So, you see, Mike Shirky was kicking it with cult members the other day in the Senate gallery while he calls the governor a dictator for doing what she's constitutionally allowed to do. Yeah, did you see those pictures? Yeah, he's just sitting back kicking it with these mob people, this mob cult, who will die for Dear Leader. He's up there kicking it and just loving it. He is just loving it. He's up in the Senate gallery just loving what's happening, all the disorder, all the yelling that was happening at the Capitol, all the guns, all the signs. Now, as for the Confederate flag, I don't know. Yeah, sure, Shirky denounced them as some of them as jackasses after all was said and done, but you see, the damage was done. Shirky, Chatfield, or Ken Horn, let me remind you, did not mind executive powers in the right hands. Did they ever try to remove executive power from Rick Snyder's hands? No, they gave him more power, including giving him emergency manager powers even after Michiganders voted to strip that power from him. And that led to the poisoning of the Flint River, may I remind you, that killed people and poisoned children who will have to deal with lead in their bodies forever, a price that we will have to pay, a price that we as a state will have to pay for many, many years. Did Shirky or Ken Horn think that Rick Snyder was in way over his head? Did they ever refer to him as my governor? No. But because Governor Whitmer's a Democrat and a popular one who's getting national attention, they have called a civil war against her. All because she's not allowing you to dine in McDonald's. They're even attempting to sue her for using her powers to execute emergency orders, which they are trying to take away from her. And these are powers that are given to her in our state constitution. They could have taken those powers away years ago, but you see, they didn't want to do that when a Republican was in charge. Now that there's a Democrat, they want to take those powers away immediately. They have only but themselves to blame. In the end, though, like the National Republican Party, Michigan Republicans, Michigan's right-wingers, Michigan's fringe right-wing leading groups like the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, or families like the DeVos family, they care only about one thing and one thing only, power. They don't care about Michigan at all. They care about power. And in order to obtain that power, they are calling on the cult to stop Whitmer at all costs. More on that in just a moment. You're listening to Left of Lansing. I'm Pat Johnston. Thank you so very much. Sorry I've been away for a while. I will try to correct that. But just stick with me. I've got lots more to say. Annie, take it away.
A podcast devoted to helping fix the damn roads because Pat's tired of dodging potholes. It's the Left of Lansing podcast. Upset with Pat? Want to give him a piece of your mind? Or do you actually want to praise Pat for everything that he does? Just email him, leftoflansing@gmail.com. Now, back to Pat Johnston.
Welcome back to Left of Lansing. I just needed to take a quick break there. Thank you for granting me that break. Oh, man, we are living in some unbelievable times. Hey, remember that you can always email me at leftoflansing@gmail.com. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit the website. That's leftoflansing.com. Man, this latest rally is causing us to forget the other rally that happened just a couple of weeks ago in Lansing. And man, did the Michigan and the national media go bonkers when Dear Leaders cult members stormed Lansing a few weeks ago for Operation Gridlock, and they did it almost again this time around, too. I mean, it's as if the press is longing for the good old days when it didn't have to cover thousands of people dying due to a bungling, inept, ineffectual, narcissistic, lying, racist bigot in the White House. It seems like the press is longing for the days when it could just simply cover angry white people demonstrating against another Democrat who was doing everything in their power to save lives. The more things change, the more they stay the same, unfortunately. Michigan's Republican leadership, backed, of course, by DeVos family connections, egged on the protesters to deflect blame from their Dear Leader's gross negligence, which led to thousands dying and thousands of their jobs being furloughed or lost, and to shove all that blame onto a Democrat, this time being Gretchen Whitmer, for, you know, trying to save lives in the midst of a global pandemic that did not have to happen. And as usually happens at these extreme right-wing rallies, we got to see who and what these people are all about. We got to see guns a few weeks ago at Operation Gridlock, just as we did a couple of days ago with this latest rally. Because why not? I mean, I guess the gun rights nuts out there, who rarely ever rush to support a black person's right to carry a firearm, I may say, think that their gun will probably shoot the COVID-19 virus right between the nucleus? I really don't understand the point of guns at these kind of rallies. It doesn't really make sense to me. Okay, so we had guns, but we also got another symbol that has become synonymous with the right wing. That's right. We had the Confederate flag make an appearance at Operation Gridlock and also at this latest rally. The cult has embraced this flag, which represents slavery and anti-Americanism, especially since Dear Leader took over the White House. I mean, the Charlottesville tragedy is a perfect example in which white supremacists, or as Dear Leader called them, some very fine people, that these white supremacists were driven to such outrage due to the fact that Confederate statues were being removed. It drove one cult member to run over and kill Heather Heyer, who was there that day to join forces representing American ideals. After that event, the cult rallied around the flag, but not the American flag. No, no, no. The cult rallied around the Confederate flag. The cult hated seeing Confederate heritage disappearing from public spaces. The cult celebrated those who fought against American values. They still celebrate those who fought against American values. The cult believes in the Confederacy's lost cause. And now, Dear Leader is their new cause. Here's the appalling part of those right-wing extremists who carried the Confederate flag to the Capitol in Lansing at Operation Gridlock and whatever that rally was about a couple of days ago. I mean, it was a very zombie-like rally, if I may say so. That flag was waving in front of former Michigan Governor Austin Blair's statue. Governor Blair is known as Michigan's Civil War governor. According to the Michigan Senate's website, I decided to look this up. It says Blair was the founder of the Republican Party. He championed human rights and led the successful 1846 effort to ban capital punishment in Michigan. He strongly supported Lincoln, encouraging men to volunteer for the war and raise money to equip them. Governor Blair did his part in trying to save the United States of America, not the Confederacy, the United States of America. And these so-called patriots, who can't bear the thought of a female governor leading them through a crisis, proudly wave a flag of sedition in front of Blair's statue. That is treasonous. That is sick. That's not Michigan. Now, some may ask, what kind of heritage is the cult celebrating by waving the Confederate flag of Michigan, which fought to preserve the Union? But why ask? The cult only cares about their leader and their side winning. Oh, right, and owning those stupid libs who, like Blair, continue to fight for human rights and science and all those other liberal traits like kayaking. Yes, we are all inconvenienced at this time. Everybody, I'm inconvenienced. You're inconvenienced. My wife is inconvenienced. I think my cat is inconvenienced because I'm home all day long bothering him. He wants his alone time again. And sure, I like to hit the bar once in a while as well. It sucks. Do you know what else sucks? The hundreds of thousands of Michiganders filing for unemployment right now. The pain this is causing small business, which once again got left with crumbs while rich corporations received billions upon billions of government handouts. Thanks again to Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican Senate in Washington, led by, of course, Dear Leader. In fact, the first sum of money for small businesses, I think it was around $248 billion, well, it got fully depleted pretty quickly. And the majority of those funds went to red states. Now, how in the world did that happen? I have no idea. And of course, the money is drying out from this second installment of small business loans. And by the way, why are they loans? Why do small businesses have to pay this back? Make it a grant. Come on, fight for this, Democrats. This wasn't their fault. Help them out. While I'm at it, is $1,200 really enough money for an individual who lost their job all due to the fact that Dear Leader refused to prepare for this pandemic? No, it is not. Do something better. Do something worthwhile. Have some guts, Democrats in Washington. Fight for the people. They want you to fight for them. Vote for a bill that provides Americans with some kind of monthly income as this pandemic continues. Help the people. Yeah, I know. Andrew Yang would be very proud to hear me say something like that. It is up to the Democratic leadership in Washington to stand up and fight for those who are hurting right now. Stop stepping aside for Wall Street and start stepping up for the people. Pass bills giving states the resources they need to survive this unprecedented time. And put the pressure back on Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell's no-lip face for a change and show America that he doesn't stand for them. He doesn't stand for the American people. He stands for his corporate backers. It shouldn't be that hard because we represent the majority of Americans who, despite feeling all kinds of pain, still support doing whatever it takes to defeat this virus before risking our lives to work. You see, the cult is willing to die for Dear Leader. He is their cause. They listen to him, and they listen to their corporate right-wing media messengers, who are the same people who won't even dare attend these same rallies in the fear of getting sick themselves. Like Susan Demas from Michigan Advance wrote recently, many Republican leaders and their wealthy donors didn't show up to the Operation Gridlock rally, whatever you want to call it, in Lansing a few weeks ago, which pretty much tells you everything you need to know about the safety risks involved. But why put yourself and your family in harm's way when you can outsource protesting the folks who still think Conspiracy King Alex Jones's magic remedies will keep the evil vibes away? And I'll go further than that, Susan. Michigan's Chamber of Commerce CEO Rich Dudley has been against all kinds of shelter-in-place orders ever since day one. Now, he backed off a little bit once the virus started to spread in Michigan, but he has since rallied against Governor Whitmer over and over again, especially after she extended that order through April. The elites called the charge. The elites like Rich Dudley called the charge. But then those guys failed to be visible on the day of battle. Of course they do, because they've got the cult to do the work for them. The battle is to save Dear Leader. Dear Leader represents autocracy. Dear Leader protects his ilk. Despite his moral failings, Dear Leader will protect dividends and he'll protect tax cuts for the elites. That's what the battle is all about. And in order to protect the elite class, Dear Leader and the Republicans nationwide must convince the cult that they are not the ones to blame. No, no, no. It's that woman in Michigan's fault because she's preventing you from painting in your breezeway. In order to protect the elite class, they have to tell a certain white folk out there that it's really those other people's faults. Blame them. And if they get some white folk to blame for those other people instead of the elite class for their position in society, well, the battle is won. Detroit Free Press editor Brian Dickerson wrote about the mostly white, mostly out-of-state protests featuring Confederate flags during Operation Gridlock a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, he also talked about those chants of lock her up. Lock her up. Uh-huh. Boy, talk about going back to the classics. Think of something new to chant, guys. Anyway, Dickerson described how the Michigan Republican leadership, while not publicly endorsing those chants or the Confederate flag, which is, again, a symbol of oppression and sedition, the Republican leadership still tacitly implied that we can open the state up for business as usual, since many of the cases so far are happening in the Metro Detroit area. Now, why in the world does it seem like Michigan's Republican leadership, Mike Shirkey, Senate Majority Leader, and House Speaker Lee Chatfield, why does it seem that they are trying to minimize the over 1,000 COVID-19 deaths in Detroit? Why are they trying to minimize it? If I could only put my finger on it. Let me think about this one for a bit. Wait a second. Could it be that the Confederate flag on display during these despicable anti-American rallies is trying to tell me and you something more? Brian Dickerson reminds us, and I'm quoting here, "If you listen carefully, you could hear the baritone echo of the late Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson, who once ventured that Michiganders could treat Detroit like an Indian reservation, where we herd all the Indians into the city, build a fence around it, and then throw in some blankets and corn." You see, everybody, that's how the right wing thinks. Just 2 weeks ago, in the midst of that Operation Gridlock rally, a sitting Michigan Republican state senator, Dale Zorn, showed up on the Senate chamber floor wearing a Confederate flag mask. Oh, Zorn said it really wasn't the Confederate flag, but yes, it was the Confederate flag. Here's Zorn talking to WNLS-TV in Lansing, and listen to just how he twists himself into a human pretzel by trying to say it really wasn't a Confederate flag mask, but you know what? Even if it was, what's the big deal?
Yeah, sure, it wasn't a Confederate flag. It was a mask that my wife made for me, and she wanted me to wear it today. So I did, and I told my wife it probably would raise some eyebrows, but it was not a Confederate flag. And, you know, I think even if it was a Confederate flag, you know, we should be talking about teaching our national history in schools. And that's part of our national history. And it's something we can't just throw away because it is part of our history. And if we want to make sure that the atrocities that happened during that time doesn't happen again, we should be teaching it. Our kids should know what that flag stands for.
What does that flag stand for?
The Confederacy.
You see, Zorn gave himself away there. I mean, you know, fighting Hitler is also part of this nation's history. Should we all wear German military garb from World War II once in a while? Asked Prince Harry how well that turned out for him. Plus, you know what? I'm wondering if Zorn's all by himself this weekend after throwing his wife under the bus. Wow. I'm always told that Republicans are the party of personal responsibility. Or, you know what? When all else fails, blame your wife. People are dying and thousands more have been hospitalized here in Michigan due to a virus that's spreading across the country because the Republican Party's dear leader called the virus a Democratic hoax back a couple of months ago. He even declared that the virus would be gone by the beginning of March. And instead of working with Governor Whitmer, which is kind of what presidents do, even if they're from the other party, dear leader decided to make it all political. He decided to call her names, which I'm told is presidential nowadays. And Michigan's right-wing Republican Party, backed again by extremists like Rich Studley from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce and the DeVos family, are more than happy to follow in dear leader's footsteps. They offer no solutions. They offer just obstruction. They are using the same playbook that Mitch McConnell used against President Obama. Obstruct, obstruct, obstruct. And while obstructing, let's sprinkle in some misogyny and some good old-fashioned white identity politics with guns and Confederate flags. It's all about protecting dear leader. He is the cause because dear leader provides the donor base with lots and lots of goodies. In order to bring the cult along to accept this scheme, Michigan Republicans don't mind using subtle messages. Or, as in the case of Senator Dale Zorn, a loud dog whistle to let his supporters know exactly whose side he's on. Thankfully, we do have sanity. Thankfully, we do have some common sense that is represented in Lansing. Like State Senator Erica Geis, a Democrat from Michigan's 6th District, which is around the Taylor area. And here's Senator Geis explaining, and she really didn't have to, which is sad because it says a lot about the times that we're living in. But here's Senator Geis explaining why Zorn has to be censured for his actions.
Now, while we acknowledge that the gentleman from the 17th District issued an apology days after being confronted on this issue, that apology was hollow and was insufficient to reflect the consequences and gravity of the actions. Actions that were appalling and an affront to not only the 14% of those elected and serving within this chamber who are of African descent, but also for the 100% of the 14% of Michigan's population who are also of African descent. Immediate public action must be taken on this matter, given that 5 members of the chamber, multiple staff members, and our lieutenant governor are of African descent. The actions of the gentleman from the 17th district must have punitive consequences, and rules for this chamber must be updated so that similar actions never occur again. It's absurd that we have to put it in writing to not wear a Confederate flag or similar white supremacist regalia while in this body doing the work of the people. But apparently we do.
Sadly, Senator Geis, we do live in such a time. As of this recording, we have surpassed 40,000 cases in Michigan. Nearly 3,700 Michiganders have died of the virus so far as we know, and some 64,000 Americans have perished. It's very likely that those numbers, by the way, are low, since we haven't been recording how many people have died of the disease outside of hospitals. The virus is now spreading to other parts of Michigan. Cases continue to rise elsewhere, and we are still nowhere close to having the capabilities to test the prerequisited number of people we must test if we ever, ever hope to fully open up Michigan's economy again. But that's not stopping the cult. They are carrying the Confederate flag into battle for dear leader and his corporate right-wing interests. And they are willing to die for him. And they are willing to have their grandmother die for him. As right-wing fanboy Ben Shapiro says, "Hey, Grandma, you had a good run, but all runs must come to an end eventually."
Nobody just wants to say the obvious truth, which is that we're all making actuarial deductions about what are the costs in terms of how many human lives, how many years of life, because that is an actual issue in actuarial tables, right? If somebody who is 81 dies of COVID-19, that is not the same thing as somebody who is 30 dying of COVID-19. I mean, if this were killing children, everyone would be in for lockdown forever. That's the reality, right? If a bunch of five-year-olds were dying of COVID-19 and people were saying, get back to work, I'd be like, nope, I'm not letting my five-year-old die. If grandma right. dies in a nursing home at age 81, that's tragic and it's terrible. Also, the life expectancy in the United States is 80. So that is not the same thing. In moral terms, you want to save every life you can. At the same time, to pretend that it is of the same calculation, the age of the person, No public policy acts like that. Not a single public policy in American life acts like that.
I just love Ben Shapiro's pro-life agenda, don't you? And dare I say, Ben Shapiro sounds like he's calling for a COVID-19 death panel. You know what? I remember the days when I thought death panels were bad. But that's how the cult works. It was once pro-life, but is now all for death panels. The cult also used to say it's against dictatorships, but now it lauds Dear Leader's evisceration of the constitutional norms, while Michigan Senator Mike Shirky declares Whitmer as the true dictator because she's doing something so radical like trying to save lives, thanks in part to the inept leadership from Shirky's Dear Leader, who told us that there would be zero cases 6 weeks ago. 64,000 plus deaths later in the United States, Michigan's right-wing corporate forces are doing everything in their power to convince you to blame that woman in Michigan and not Dear Leader, because Dear Leader is good. Dear Leader is right. Dear Leader is never wrong. We love Dear Leader. You know, you've got to hand it to Michigan Republicans. With the help of some DeVos cash, they were able to get a decent crowd to show up at these rallies during the last few weeks. And this crowd, this cult, has been demonstrating to the world that it's willing to die for Dear Leader. And that's what Dear Leader and the Republican elite are counting on this November. That is the battle.
It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. Rumor has it, if you want to get Pat really fired up, just tell him Ringo Starr is just an average drummer. And don't forget to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Now, back to Pat.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Left of Lansing podcast. I know, this is usually the time where I give you a Left of Lansing last call, but I kind of just wanted this particular episode to deal with the pandemic and what's happening here in Michigan. But trust me, in the next episode, but don't worry, the Left of Lansing last call will return in the next episode, because some of you have been sharing some very interesting stories with me, stories that have not been getting a lot of attention, obviously, because of the pandemic, but I will share those on the next episode during the Left of Lansing last call segment, I promise, because there's lots out there that we've got to make sure that we are paying attention to, because trust me, the other side is hoping we are not. We've got a big election coming up here in less than 6 months, and we've got to make sure we know everything that they are doing. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter. Very simple. That's at Left of Lansing. Please follow me there, because that's where I do most of my communications, is on the Twitters. But you can also email me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. Everybody, try your best to stay sane. Have a good Michigan beer once in a while to try to calm you down and make you feel good. Hey, and if you have to, you can have a Labatt's. I have no problems with Labatt beer whatsoever, although I do like my Oberon this time of year. Hey, everybody, please stay safe. Wear a mask. Take your hand sanitizer. Make sure to change your sink sponges once in a while, too. Just stay safe. Stay sane. Just try to keep your head about you while all of the others are losing theirs. Remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston. Just kidding, this thing isn't researched. And broadcasted by Pat Johnston. Technical assistance provided by the wonderful Dr. Heather. And don't forget to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information and Pat's musical taste, if you can handle it. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.